Robinhood Radio presents Stage Right or Not with Michelle Willems. Michelle is a longtime journalist and herself is a published playwright of several theatrical works. She's a frequent contributor to the Huffington Post, Daily Beast, and the Atlantic websites.
Another hope made of another show.
Money and beauty. Are there two subjects we obsess over more? We all worry about our financial status, and we are all vulnerable to losing it. As for how important our looks are in our lives, particularly as we grow out of adolescence, it is not just an American obsession. Africa appears to be equally concerned based on two shows I've seen in the last few months. First, there was Schoolgirls, the African Mean Girls play, in which an all-female school becomes a competitive battleground in preparation for a beauty pageant. And this week, I saw a new one, which also deals with the advantages, if they are that, of being the prettiest girl in the group. As for following the money, well, I saw a play about the man who took Ponzi schemes to a whole new dimension. Fortunately, my week ended with a piece that deals with nothing but goodness and doing the right thing. But let's start with the play at 59 East 59 Theaters called Imagining Madoff, written by Deb Margolin. Now, this one has been performed in other cities, notably Washington and Boston, on its way here. It's a three-character piece. Besides the man being imagined, it includes a secretary testifying about her prior knowledge, or lack thereof. I hate myself. He was just so secretive. And there's a philosopher, poet, Holocaust survivor. Now, that character originally was called Elie Wiesel, who, of course, was one of those who lost millions due to Madoff. My God, you'd think he'd suffered enough. But Wiesel threatened to sue the playwright, and the character is now called Solomon Galkin. The 90-minute play is in a small venue, so there is no escaping this evil man who goes back and forth between telling his tale to an invisible journalist with a prison bar behind him and visiting Solomon in his office. There's a lot of talk there about morality and Judaism, which answered my question as to why the show had played at the Jewish Community Center in Washington. It's always a particular challenge for a playwright when his or her lead character is the villain. Madoff, well played by Jeremiah Kissel, is not sugar-coated here. As in real life, he does not show a sincere sense of remorse. The closest to any relatable humanity is when he admits he always wanted to be on Wheel of Fortune and dance like Fred Astaire, and confesses, "I felt like nothing but an invisible Jew." The fact that this is called Imagining Madoff does let the playwright off the hook somewhat. We are in her head as she considers what might have been in Bernie's. The piece is far from cozy, but it is thought-provoking. Is it good for the Jews? Well, I guess we can take some comfort in the idea that this horrid man was seeking guidance from a deeply religious one. That is, before he agrees to take his money. Meanwhile, pardon my raspiness, by the way, I've got a sore throat. Meanwhile, over at Playwrights Horizons, the stage has been beautifully arranged for a show that is part drama, part humor, part live music, and part choreography. Welcome to the town of Afriaka Amaraka, and a play said to be partly based on a West African fable. Written by Tori Sampson and directed by Leah Gardner, this is, quote, the title, If Pretty Hurts, Then Ugly Must Be a Mother. Well, you do the rest. This one deals with a group of teenagers, one of whom is the perfect beauty. Akeem is her name. The guys fight over her, the parents overprotect her, and the girls envy and maybe even do damage to her. Now, I'm not going to spoil anything here. Remember, it is a fable, so even the darkest events may turn out not to be true, or at least they can be turned around. This show has some very good humor. Its cast of eight is excellent. And yes, there is the not completely original message that those who we admire for their beauty often feel they are respected for nothing else. Not to mention, they may have a harder time losing it. Ugly people out there, you don't know how lucky you are, says Akeem. You can find something else to be proud of. The theme is repeated in various ways, and Samson writes some nice passages. She's not even insulting us, but I've never felt more offended. You don't use beauty, you preserve it. Even in death, she's the most spoken about woman in town. Well, I'm sure you get the idea. The show is not immersive in the usual sense, but the performers are constantly running up and down the aisles, and the musicians sit just outside the stage area. The dancing is fun, besides the fact that the theme may not be entirely unique, the spirit of this one is, and it mostly works. I did have some trouble with the ending, about a 10 to 15 minute all-silent scene between a woman and her mirror. I get the concept, but 5 minutes would have made the point. My final play is sort of a nice, if ironic, response to the mean-spiritedness evident in the last two. The title is Shirley Goodness and Mercy, and it's the latest from the Keene Company at Theatre Row. Written by Chisa Hutchinson, this is a simple story of a bright young boy named Tino who is being raised by an abusive aunt, but becomes attached to two other women, one a classmate and the other a worker in the cafeteria named Bernadette. Tino grows concerned about her health and takes it on as a personal mission. She's just a lunch lady, he's told. But Tino is empathetic, way ahead of his years, not to mention classmates. The play is really a series of vignettes, and why it has an intermission is beyond me. It runs just over 90 minutes, and what little conflict it has should not be broken up. The actors are all very good, particularly Jay Mazick and Brenda Presley as Tino and Bernadette. Like the Madoff play, this one also has a good dose of religion, not that religion. Actual sermons are heard, and social media comes in for both laughs. Tino chooses his church because it has 4 stars on Yelp, and as the unsung hero. When he learns about funding online, Tino and his girlfriend are able to raise the money for Bernadette's medical care. Shirley Goodness and Mercy feels like about half a play. Mostly it's a plea for getting back to old-fashioned generosity. The performers, by the way, as with the one at Playwrights Horizons, are all non-white, and it's always a pleasure to see not only diversity on the stage, but among those paying to watch them. I should also point out, and I'm not the only one, the New York stages are currently filled with teenagers. Besides Shirley Goodness and Mercy, Evan Hansen remains a mostly sold-out production. Be More Chill has just opened, which deals with high school angst. Mean Girls, the original, is still doing very well. And The Prom is, well, it's about just what it says. So lots to ponder this week. Interesting, all 3 plays I just realized that I reviewed were all written by women. So Jill, we must apparently look in our wallets, in our mirrors, and hopefully in our hearts.
Well, I think that's always good advice, no?
Yes, it is.
Yes. Are there any, quick change, any new adjustments or openings? Was there any follow-up on the Scott Rudin Mockingbird?
There apparently was a third act to our tale of that. And I'm trying to think what it was. I think a few of the theaters around the country have agreed to, instead of using the original To Kill a Mockingbird play, that was written years ago, they've agreed to use the one that Scott Rudin is offering them, which is the Broadway show, written by Aaron Sorkin.
Right.
I think that's the last I heard.
Okay, so it just so it got quietly re-diverted, let's just say.
Yeah, quietly settled for now. And there will be To Kill a Mockingbird out there, whether they'll be Aaron Sorkin's or that original one. There are going to be a few of each. Part of it depends on where your theater is, if it's anywhere near New York.
Within 25 miles of a major city.
That's right. Then they're free to do what they want. But I don't know. It's a strange one. I don't think it did anybody any good.
And anything that you are hearing about things that are opening or working on, I think that your predictions pretty much about closings have been on point, let's just say.
Beyond point, I was thinking about that as I walked by the theaters yesterday, and I noticed that Band's Visit, of course, is in its last few, which won the Tony a year ago, as did Once on This Island, which is already closed. A lot of the jukeboxes have closed. I'm going to see the new jukebox show this week, which is about the Temptations. That's had very good had very good response in Los Angeles. And a lot of things are opening in the next few weeks. King Lear, now called Lear, is opening with Glenda Jackson in the title role, 3 hours long. I hear mixed about that, but that's still in previews. Other one people are looking at is Hillary Ann Clinton with John Lithgow and Laurie Metcalf. So if you're into that, if you're still into them, I guess that'll be a hot ticket. The one that I'm hearing really great things about, which I'm going to see, is Kiss Me, Kate. Yes, it's been done 100 times. It's supposed to be a really fun one with Kelly O'Hara. So this is going to be a big month because it's pre-Tony month. So you know what that means.
Right, or it's pre-Tony month and a half. No, it's pre-Tony 30 days pretty much.
Something like that. So yeah. Everybody's going to put them out there quickly. But anyway, it's looking like an interesting.
I know what. I know. Okay, so Kinky Boots is closing.
Oh, yes.
Which I had, that's what had caught my attention. And Anastasia is closing. So
finally.
Right, which was open the last time, but then it was. Okay.
Yes, exactly. I thought some of those had closed a while back. You know, they make these announcements with the hope that all of a sudden, School of Rock is another one, that they're hoping that all of a sudden there'll be this huge amount of ticket sales and they'll say, oh, well, maybe we can go another few months. I don't think that's happened with any of those. I think anybody who wanted to see them has seen them. And anyway, an interesting season, and we'll see how it all pans out. It's going to be a best original play is going to come down to Ferryman and To Kill a Mockingbird, I assume.
And
it should be interesting. Let's hope all that bad blood between Scott Rudin and local theaters is not going to play a role, but one never knows.
And separately, I have a question. Who wouldn't want to see Kelly O'Hara in Kiss Me, Kate?
Yeah, exactly. We all wanted to see her in My Fair Lady. But we got Laura Benanti, and there are no complaints.
Stage Right or Not with Michelle Willens, produced in the studios of Robin Hood Radio, robinhoodradio.com.